Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? We'll get things started here with hymn number 198, There is Power in the Blood. Hymn number 198.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? Would you be free from your passion and pride? Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Welcome each one to our family Bible hour this morning. We're a small but loyal band this morning. So many people away and traveling on holiday. It is the middle of July. I guess it's the downside of July already. This is the second shortest month of the year, shorter perhaps only by the month of June, which is the shortest month of the year. June, I think, is only 10 days long, isn't it? So it seems. Welcome to each one of you here. This is a time when we gather, open God's Word, and in our prayer time, just a few moments ago, the commonality of our prayer was that the Lord would give to the speaker this morning the precious Word of God. This is the living Word of God. And that not only that, that Word given to us would be received by us, and not just understood, but taken in and remembered and lived. Because again, it's the living Word of God, and it lives in each one of us. That is the power, the wonder-working power in the blood. God gives us that Word. We are to take that Word and go forth with it and be witnesses of Him, using words if necessary. I love that expression because mostly we're supposed to demonstrate the power of the blood through our lives. We're to demonstrate the change that is in us through Jesus Christ by the way we walk and talk and have our being. So bless our service this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you just rejoicing in that power in the blood. We've seen it. We know it in our own lives. We've demonstrated it again and again to us. And Father, how we look forward to the time left that we have with you here in this realm to just see again and again the power in the blood. Bless our service this morning, Father. Bless our speaker, Alan Burley. And give us ears to hear and minds to retain and understand and lives to live for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, for our next hymn, we're going to go to number 258, He Hideth My Soul.
Thank you.
That last stanza is really quite wonderful to consider. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise. That's when we leave here to go be with him. To meet him in clouds of the sky, his perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. Wow. Well, again, the meetings of our assembly are in the gray bulletin that I think most of you have seen. It's a very quiet time through July. A lot of meetings have been either canceled or put on hold through the summer months. Just a couple of things to draw your attention to. Our speaker this morning in the second service is Mr. Alan Burley. Alan, I forgot to ask what you're speaking on, and I meant to, but we'll let that be your little secret until you arrive. Exodus? You gave it away. Anyway, may the Lord bless you as you open his word. I'd like your prayer. We'd like your prayer for Brother Fred, who is not well. Fred has a number of things that trouble him. Of course, you know of his leg has been a long-term ailment that gives him a nasty time. But I think he's got a sort of a non-specific difficulty recently with his throat or his stomach, and Fred just doesn't feel well, and I'm not sure that he knows why. So let's remember Fred Gardner in our prayer. I mentioned earlier our brother Daniel in faraway Ghana suffering a leg infection, and that always sounds a bit dreadful when you get any sort of internal infection in a place like Africa. Who knows what that is? And at the moment they don't. And it's not healing, it's not responding to antibiotics. They hospitalized Daniel for a few days and watched him carefully, and apparently the healing really just isn't taking place. So they've sent him home and will monitor him very carefully. Apparently if there's no dramatic development for the positive by Tuesday, they'll do an exploratory surgery on Friday. We hope they don't have to do that. It sounds nasty. They actually dig into the leg and the bone to try to discover what's causing the infection and why it simply will not heal. On a happier note, the big 9-0 for our sister Mabel, and that's a celebration worth celebrating. The birthday is actually taking place this Saturday, the 25th. But the celebration at Nanaimo Senior Village will be the following Saturday, August 1st. And there's a note at the back on the bulletin board with the details of that. So just come and be prepared to help Mabel celebrate that grand milestone, the Big 9-0.
Okay. For our next hymn, we're going to do number 460, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning. safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Awesome. Okay, and for our last hymn, our final hymn, number 449, if I can get you all to stand up for this one, and we'll sing together, "To God Be the Glory," number 449. You may be seated. And now we have some special music from Mrs. Joanne Chase. We all love to hear from Joanne. Thank you, Joanne.
Of the earth. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Thank you, Joanne. From where I was sitting, a couple of those notes resonated with my spine, and that's wonderful. That's a gift, and we praise the Lord for it. Alan, it's time to open the Word of God, and we thank you for your willingness to lead us through what God has given you this morning. Thank you, Alan.
Kirk, is there fresh water? Did anyone put fresh water in this glass this morning? Ah, we did. Thank you.
Thank you. It's not 7 days old, anyway. I want you to take your Bible and turn to two verses in the last chapter of the Bible, please, or the last book, rather, in Revelation chapter 1, and then we're going to go to chapter 22. Two verses. And I'm going to read these verses, and I want to read them clearly, and I want you to hopefully understand what they say. Chapter 1, verse 3. The verse says, "Blessed is he," and I'll put "she," "that readeth and that they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Once more, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy." So we read and we hear and keep, read and hear and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now I want you to turn to the last book, the last chapter of this book, chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this of the prophecy of this book." Let's just open in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, again, we thank you for another beautiful day, another hot day, but still, Father, it is a day of grace, and we thank you. We're so grateful for all that you have accomplished in our lives and want to thank you for, especially for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful to you for him who was willing enough to give himself for us. And so today, we want to praise him and give him his rightful place in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This is a very unusual message this morning. It's different, but I intend it to be different. And I hope that I can keep your attention. It is to do with future events in the world that's going to come, and that will happen. You know, actually, it is quite amazing that the subject of prophecy has to be, it's a knowledge never been spoken about in this assembly since 1970. That door closed for a reason, maybe, eh? Who knows? The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, to my knowledge, since 1970, I've never heard it once spoken of on this problem or on this this pulpit, except at the times that I have spoken on it, and I've taken the liberty to do so, but not extensively. Since 1970, and I would, if I was a wagering man, I would wager that it probably never ever was spoken about in the years previous to 1970. To me, I think that's a bit of a shame. You know, we always like to know about the future and whatever it might be. You know, I never was ever interested in the weather of our land. I never ever looked to see what temperature tomorrow was, or, you know, was there snow next week, or was it going to rain? I never ever bothered with looking at the channel that showed those numbers and those pictures, but today I am. Isn't it amazing? Because the future is this, that we have no water. We're getting low on water. We have not had any rain for some time. The weather is dry. We are down to 150 fires in British Columbia at the present time. There was 200, but still, that's too many fires in this province. So I like to look at the future in areas like that. I also like to look at the news about the Asian countries, the Middle East. I like listening to those things, but I can't really determine what the future holds. No man on the face of the earth knows that. But still, I have a little bit of an interest in those areas. There's other areas of my life that I like to think about as being future, and I'm sure you do too. Now, my objective today is this, to explain to you the meaning of certain events that are going to happen in the future, that are going to occur. And what I plan on doing is I'm going to give you the definitions. I'm not going to explain the definitions, but I'm going to explain what these terms mean, but not show you at all about the consecutive order that those terms are in. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe that can be done in the future. The consecutive order of the events that I am going to speak about this morning. Now, I have many scriptural verses, dozens and dozens of them, as you look at them in their consecutive order, but I'm not even going to do that this morning. I also know that some of these terms, a lot of you will know, but it is good to review. Now, with that introduction, we will now try to define some of these terms. Now, these are future terms or events that are extremely important for you and I. I can't overemphasize how important these terms are so that we can understand what they are and then put them in their consecutive order as time goes on. These future terms and events are important. You need to know. So here's a few, and I'm starting with the rapture. And then, by the way, this is the next event that has to occur on the earth when no one really knows. But the word rapture means this, simply means to transport from one place to another. That's what it means. The scriptural term of rapture is caught up, receive you unto myself. There's another scriptural term. Another one is come up hither. That's what we know of as the rapture. Catching up of Christians to meet the Lord in the air, who then go to heaven with Christ to get settled in their eternal mansions, think of that, that Christ has gone to prepare for them who love him, the rapture. The rapture is not, and I want to emphasize this, the rapture, we hear a lot of times this term, the second coming of Christ. Let me make it very clear to you this morning that the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. It is not any part, it's not any stage or any phase of the rapture, the second coming of Christ. Remember that. There is at least a time frame of 7 years between the two. The rapture, at least 7 years between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Now the second one is the second coming of Christ. Now he came once before, approximately 2,000 years ago, to fulfill a mission that happened almost that many years ago. It's called the Passion, when he came as a babe in a manger. Now, the second coming of Christ will occur when he literally comes again to live on earth to fulfill another mission. Do you get that? The first mission was when he came as a babe in a manger. The second mission is that he will come and stand on this earth. The second coming is at least 7 years after the rapture. Remember that. At least 7 years after the rapture. He literally lands on the earth, the second coming of Christ. He literally lands on the earth to live amongst men as he did at the first time. That's the second coming of Christ. Christ does not come to the earth at the rapture. It's another thing to remember. He comes to catch up his believers, those that are dead, buried, and those that are still alive. When the rapture comes, he's going to come in the clouds to receive us, but not plant his feet on the earth. That will occur at the second coming. The dead in Christ will rise, and the living in Christ will rise to meet him in heaven to go back to, will meet him to go back to heaven. The rapture takes place at any moment. The second advent does not. Remember that. The rapture can take place at any second. The second coming of Christ cannot. Now let's look at the millennium. There's another term that we use often. And sometimes I find people that are a little bit confused about this period of time. Well, now the term millennium means 1,000 years. And will be the first of innumerable thousands of years of all future eternity. Now think of that one. Where Christ will reign on earth with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They will reign on the earth. And all redeemed, and this includes Old Testament saints, it includes New Testament saints, it includes tribulation saints, and it also includes two witnesses. Now, the rapture only occurs at one split, the blinking of an eye, and it will occur and will take those that have died since the time of Pentecost until this present time. That is called the rapture. And it also will include Old Testament saints as well. Did you know that there will be Old Testament saints in heaven? These are men and women who looked forward to the cross. They saw a Messiah dying in their stead. They may not have had a clearer understanding than we do, or a clear understanding that we do today, but still they saw a Messiah who would die in their stead. So they're called Old Testament saints, and they will also be in glory with us. The tribulation saints, which is another subject, we might be able to get that to that in a few minutes. Now the fourth term I want to bring out is called the elect. I have a very simple definition on the word elect. It simply means chosen of God, elect of God. And that means you and I who have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know all of you here this morning. I know a lot. But I want to say to you that it's extremely important that you understand clearly what God has done for you in your life through his son, Jesus Christ. You may not have availed yourself of that yet. But you need to clearly see that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for your sins as he died for mine. And when you recognize that, you claim by faith what he has done for you. You claim it by faith and trust in him that what he accomplished, you can avail yourself of. Extremely important. I want to say this, that when it comes to salvation, I remember my own conversion very plainly, very, very plainly. But I remember there was a time in my life that I wanted to have peace with God. I wanted to know what it was to actually know what born again meant. I wanted to experience what rebirth meant. And I finally recognized this as I wanted it more than anything else in my life. It has to come first and foremost in your life, my friends. If anything else is attractive to you, God has to come first. Jesus Christ has to come first in order for you to know what it is to be born again. It's most important. Now, the New Testament church is the fifth one. We mean by this term all the born again or saved people from the time that Christ started his church to the future rapture of the church from earth to heaven. That's what the meaning is, the New Testament church. Very simple. Most of you know that. Now, Old Testament saints, by this term we mean the saved of all past ages from Abel to the establishment of the New Testament church at the first coming of Christ to the earth. Is that clear? Old Testament saints, by this term we mean the saved of all past ages from Abel to the establishment of the New Testament church. We find that in the New Testament. At the first coming of Christ to the earth. That's item number 6. Item number 7 is this, called the future tribulation. Do you know what that's all about? Do you have any idea what it's all about? This means the last 7 years of this age, during which the time the great horror of Revelation 17 will murder saints of Jesus Christ, those people who will be saved after the rapture. There'll be many people saved after the rapture. Countless numbers of people, without number, it tells us, that will be saved after the rapture, but will not experience the uniqueness that you and I have as having glorified bodies. Now remember that. This will happen during the first 3.5 years of that tribulation period. The first 3.5 years is called the lesser tribulation. The last 3.5 years of that period of time is called the greater tribulation. Massive destruction on the earth. The Antichrist will murder saints of Jesus Christ the last 3.5 years of this period, known as Daniel's 70th week. That's another subject. Daniel's 70th week. Now, the last 3.5 years of this time is called the Greater Tribulation because of it being the worst time of trouble on earth that has ever been or will be. The last 3.5 years. I want to assure you of one thing, and that is that when the rapture occurs, and by the way, it could happen very soon, you and I will not have to go through that 7-year period. There are many believers that do feel that. They feel they're going to go through the tribulation. But it's not scriptural at all. You and I are going to be caught up to be with Jesus Christ before that ever happens. And then the Antichrist, the false prophet, will become predominant in the world after we're gone. What are tribulation saints? Number 8. The tribulation saints will hear and know the message that they knew in the Old Testament. It's called the gospel of the kingdom message. It will not be entirely the same message that you and I have today. This company of saints are those who will miss the rapture. These are the tribulation saints. They'll miss the rapture and will get saved after. And the Old Testament and will die for Christ without exception in the future 7 years. Every one of them will die. Whatever method they do die of. Every one of the tribulation saints have to die during that period between the rapture and the second advent. Multitudes without number. How they ever are going to cause them to die is just, it's staggering for me to think about the blood that will be shed during that time, because these men and women, you know something? I have no proof of this, but I honestly believe that billions and billions of people have not heard the message that you and I have heard 10, 15, 20,000 times in our lifetime. There are people out there that have never heard this message. Could it be those people? Could it be those men and women who will hear that message at that time? I have a suspicion that he might. Haven't heard it today, during the day of grace, but they might hear it at that time. And I honestly do feel that because we have the 144,000 Jews. That's the next one. Who are they? Well, it's this special company of Jews are those in the new nation of Israel who will miss the rapture. The 144,000 Jews that will live in Israel will miss the rapture, but they have a job to do. But we'll get saved after it in the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation. They will be sealed for protection. I'm not too sure how that seal takes effect, but these 144,000, some call them Jewish evangelists, who will go around the world proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom message to the world, showing them clearly that they need to get right with God. They will be caught up before the beginning of the last part of the tribulation and to his throne. They are called in Revelation as the man-child. They're described as the man-child. They will be in heaven during the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. Number 10 is the end of the world. What does that mean? The end of the world. Now, this refers to the end of this age in which we now live, which age ends at the second coming of Christ to the earth to set up his kingdom. This end of the world, this term means this, that the times of the Gentiles will end at that time. The end of the world. The end of this age of the day of grace. Number 11, the abomination of desolation. A lot of people get confused about that one. They don't really understand what it's all about. And there is a lot to know about the abomination of desolation. Now, this means the desolation of the future Jewish temple at Jerusalem. Remember that. It's accomplished by the Antichrist who will break he makes a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel after the church is gone. He'll make a covenant with the nation, a 7-year covenant, but he'll break that covenant and do away with the future Jewish sacrifices in the temple in order to establish himself as God in the nation. That's what is called the abomination of desolation. Satan will move in and take over the temple, new temple. That temple is not built today. I have no idea how that building is going to get up in place. I have no idea. But I do know this, that Jesus Christ, God the Father, can create a temple in no time flat. He can. That temple does not exist today, but that temple will exist during the tribulation period. And the Antichrist is going to take that temple over. So it's called the abomination of desolation. Number 12 is a little bit harder to understand. It's called the Daniel's 70th week. Now this means the last 7 years of this age. That's what it means. That's the tribulation period. The last time frame of this age is the 7 years of the tribulation. It's the same years of the future tribulation, during which time the Antichrist will make a 7-year covenant with Israel. Now, there are three breakdowns of what is known as Daniel's 70th week. And I can't go into that this morning, but the 70th week, if you've heard that one, it's broken down into three periods. One period consists of 7 sevens or 49 years. It's Greek to most of us. Second one consists of 62 sevens or 434 years. And the third one of this 70th week of Daniel is 1 7 or 7 years, which is the tribulation period. So we have one period, which is 7 sevens, which is 49 years. We have another period, which is 62 sevens, which is 490 years. And then we have 1 7 or 7 years. This is Daniel's 70th week. There's a lot of study to go into that one, but just briefly telling you what it means. Now, the 13th one, and we're getting on really good here, and I'm going to have a glass of water, is called the Antichrist. Well, the question is, who is he? We have to include the false prophet into this as well, the Antichrist and the false prophet. The false prophet will be a man who will have religious powers, evil powers. He will go around convincing the world that the Antichrist is the one to follow. This word, Antichrist, refers to one man, and he is a man just as you and I as far as blood and flesh. He's just a man. He'll rise to power. The question is, I wonder if he's alive today. Could he be alive today? If the rapture were to happen right now, that man must be alive somewhere. He must be. My guess is he would have to be in his early 30s or middle 30s or early 40s, somewhere in that age frame, to be able to convince the world of who he is and what he's going to accomplish. Is he alive today? If we really believe the rapture is going to occur within the next short time, then obviously we're going to have to recognize the Antichrist must be alive. Well, no one can answer that at all. I remember a story a while back about this man, theologian down the States, who was convinced that one man that was living during the time he was alive, this one man who was quite a famous individual in the world, he was going to write a book about him because he was convinced that he was the Antichrist. So he sat down, and for weeks he spent detailed effort in proving in this book that this man was the Antichrist. One day he picked up the newspaper and he read in the newspaper this man that he was sure was the Antichrist had gone and died on him. And he went to his wife and he was just forlorn about the whole thing. He says, I don't understand it. He says, I was convinced that was the Antichrist. Now he's gone and dead. So who is he? No one knows. No one knows. He is called Antichrist because he will oppose Jesus Christ in most of the latter day events that will usher in the reign of God and Christ on this planet Earth. He's an opposer. Now the 14th one is called the Kingdom of God on Earth. Now what in the world is that? The Kingdom of God on Earth. By this we mean the literal earthly kingdom of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. They will establish on earth at the second advent of Christ and will continue on earth for eternity. The kingdom of God on earth. Let me just clarify that a little bit. The Battle of Armageddon will occur. We won't be there. And we will be in heaven, there'll be two main events in heaven while we're there during that 7 year period. One is called the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the other is called the judgment seat of Christ. Those are the two events that are going to occur during that 7 year period while tribulation is occurring on the earth. You and I as believers will be up in heaven. Now the tribulation or not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ is for you and I as believers. We have to face him and be before him. And my feeling about that is that we will be rewarded for the things that we accomplished on the earth as far as our faithfulness and as far as our getting the word of God out, our faithfulness in allowing or giving our life to him as we serve him. The judgment seat. That's where we will be rewarded. Then the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I don't have any idea what that's going to be like. When you think of the millions of people that are going to be in heaven at that time, millions, how in the world that will ever be accomplished is beyond me. My finite mind cannot enter into that one. Someone had said that if you put people at one single table, chairs on both sides, it would probably go around the world about three times the number of believers that have come and gone and are even now existing today, and Old Testament saints. It's astounding when you think about it. It's beyond my finite mind. The kingdom of God on earth. Now we have the wrath of God. This refers to the wrath that God will pour out upon men, beginning with the sixth seal. We have three sets of judgments in Revelation. We have we have the seal judgments, and they comprise of seven judgments under the umbrella of the seal judgments. Seven judgments under the seal, or under the umbrella of the seal judgments. Then we have, at the end, the last judgment is called the vile judgments. Seal judgments and the vile judgment. And the vile judgments are seven judgments under the umbrella of called the sealed, the vile judgments. These are judgments that God is going to pour out on the earth. Those are bad, bad judgments on the earth. And you know, I've slipped my mind about the middle one. It'll come to me in a minute. I know it, but I can't. The name has not come to me. That trumpet, not the trumpet in judgment. Can you speak a bit louder? The what? No. That's not familiar. It'll come to me in a second here. Now, the kingdom of God, we've talked about the Antichrist, the kingdom of God. Now we want to talk about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is this, that it refers to the wrath that God will pour out upon men, beginning with the sixth seal. The sixth seal of Revelation chapter 6. Continuing through the seven trumpets, we have the three sets of judgments. We have the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the vile judgments. That was the word I was trying to bring, but I forgot about the trumpet judgments in the center. Three sets of judgments in Revelation. Now, the continuing through the seven trumpets of the first 3.5 years and ending with the seven vials of the wrath of God in the last 3.5 years. It is this wrath that will be poured out because of the murder of Jews and those that were saved during the tribulation period. God has his eye on the Jews. They are his earthly people. They are the apple of his eye. He loves the Jews, and we also ought to love the Jews. Now, the 16th one is the day of the Lord. This means the day that Christ literally comes to reign on earth with the raptured saints. Now, picture this. We have Jesus Christ in heaven at the time of the tribulation period with his saints. Now, there has to something happen on the earth to settle the evilness that will be on the earth, and it's called the Battle of Armageddon. And here I'm now putting you in consecutive order, and I do not do that. But it's called the Battle of Armageddon. Christ will come down with earthly saints. We'll be clothed in white raiment, and we will do battle with the Antichrist and the false prophet and his people on the earth. That battle will not last very, very long. And the moment that battle occurs, then Christ will come with his saints, and they will establish themselves on the earth, and that's when the millennial period will begin. It will be his day of rule on the earth, not man's day. The day of the Lord is a day of punishment for the living wicked. I have lots of verses for that one. A day of destruction from the Almighty, God the Father, in Isaiah and Joel. Wrath upon the enemies of Israel. The wrath upon the nation of Israel, people of Israel. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of trouble and distress. And I'm finding these in Old Testament verses. A dreadful day in Joel and Malachi. Destruction of millions of men and women. Wicked men and women. Millions. Who will die? Terrible time. It tells us something about how long it's going to take to bury the dead and the blood that will flow and all these things that are going to happen during that time. In the Battle of Megiddo, in the Valley of Megiddo. Ever been to the Valley of Megiddo? I have. I've stood on one of the hills and looked down. There's a great big airport there right now, but it's called the Valley of Megiddo. And that's where this famous battle is going to take place. And you and I are going to actually take part in that battle. What our responsibilities will be, I don't know. But we will take part in that battle. The day of the Lord begins with the second advent and ends 1,000 years later when heaven and earth will be renovated by fire. Now, some people believe that the earth is going to be destroyed entirely by fire. I don't accept that feeling. And the reason being is that there are going to be many people living on the earth at that time. Many people. And also, too, that I do believe the renovation of the fire will destroy lots in the world that should not be here. I do believe that. Another thing that's very interesting in the last chapter of Revelation, or the second chapter, the 21st chapter, it tells us about the fact that there'll be no more sea. No more salt water on the face of the earth. How can that be? Now, maybe the existing bodies of water will lose their salty taste and will turn to fresh water. There will be lakes and there will be rivers during that time, but no salt water. No sea. The day of the Lord begins with the second advent and ends 1,000 years later, and so on. He will rule with a rod of iron during that period of time, ridding the earth of all rebellion. The earth purified by fire, and new heavens and a new earth. Now we have the great white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. We're just about done here. This judgment will occur after the millennial period, after the 1,000 years. Could be called, to unbelievers, it's called the second death. That's what it is. They die once, and they're going to be revived again and face God at the great white throne judgment. And then they will be cast into a lake of fire. Cast into a lost eternity for eons of time, never ending. God will begin to judge wicked men of the whole human race at the great white throne judgment. How on earth that all happens, I have no idea. But I believe it. This judgment before the great white throne of God, which will still be in heaven, this death and final judgment is for the unsaved. Always remember that. This great white throne judgment is for the unsaved, the millions and billions of people that have never, ever recognized the Messiah. Now, the renovation of the earth by fire, it'll be after the great white throne judgment. God will cleanse the earth, and I believe he will not destroy it because men and women will be living on the earth, and you and I will be too. But you must remember that the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven, this place called heaven. And we have the measurements of that in the scriptures in Revelation. I've gone through those measurements with you years back, what the size of this place is. It's massive, massive. But the Lord Jesus Christ promised each one of us he was going to build us a mansion. Now, in your mind, what size is a mansion? Well, in my mind, it's not a cabin. It's a mansion. That's what he says. And if you look in your concordance, you'll find that discover that a mansion is a pretty nice place. He's promised each one of us a mansion. There'll be no marriage or given in marriage in heaven, or even on this earth, as far as you and I as glorified people. There'll be no marriage. It's interesting. There's so much we don't know. But the renovation by fire, the earth by fire, it'll be after the great white throne judgment. God will cleanse the earth and not destroy it. The New Jerusalem, this place called heaven, this will be the place the Christians in their glorified bodies will reside. It will descend down from earth after the renovation of the world. Now, the last one I have, and it's going to close just nicely, the seal and the trumpet and the vial judgments. There's a total of 21, and they all happen during the period known as the tribulation. Now, the question is, when all this happens, no one knows. We know it's in the future. We know it's all in the future. But honestly, when I look over the number of years I've lived and the number of years I've known Christ, things have got extremely bad in the world. You know what's happened down in the United States just recently. The Supreme Court of the United States have decided on a vote of 5-4 that the whole of the United States can now marry same-sex marriages. Now, last year, the 2014, there were 32,000 deaths by guns in the United States last year. 32,000. We hardly ever hear of any of them. 32,000 deaths, and that's not include injuries. Now, God, for some reason, seems to tolerate. He sees all this happening, the break-ins, the stealing, the breakup of homes, all of these things that are happening across the globe, and in Canada as well. But when it comes to man sinning against his own body, we're made in the image of God. And when it comes to mankind going to the extent of marrying his same kind, then I believe that that's when God will begin to judge. He did it Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the very reason why he destroyed those cities. Why? It wasn't because of the various sins that they were committing. It was because they were sinning against their own bodies. And I believe that judgment will gradually come. Will I see it in my lifetime? I don't know. But I think things are going to happen now in the United States. That's my own personal opinion. Only because they are now tolerating same-sex marriages. It's a law. It's a law. And I do also believe that in the years to come, we'll see it rampant in the United States. It'll become rampant. So, how much can God tolerate? How much? That's one specific reason why I believe that the rapture is going to be around the corner. I really do believe that. It's around the corner. My question is, are you ready? Am I ready? Prophetical theologians can tell you why this will happen, the return of Christ, where, what, but can never tell when, never can. Now, the second question is, are you ready? I'm asking you that question. Are you ready? After having read all these events, and there are more, there's dozens more, of future events that are going to happen globally around the world, are you ready to go? You need to see the urgency of your life if you're not a believer. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you are lost. You have no hope. And when God judges you as an individual, your whole life is going to be before you, and you're going to have to confess that you ignored this situation. You ignored the truth of the gospel message. And then, what is God going to do with you? What will he do with you? Can he give you a second chance? In this Western society, there is no excuse for man. Basically, because they hear the gospel message time and time again, either on television, on radio, or wherever else it might be. But there are billions out there that have not heard this message. And you and I must recognize that fact. Do you know him? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know what it is to be born again and to trust Christ as your Savior? It is a remedy. And of course, we need to know him. To know him is life eternal. There is no death. Think of that. No death. I now possess eternal life right now. Did you know that? There might be a moment, a flashing moment, a moment of a twinkling of an eye when I will pass from this present time into eternity. But for just a moment. But I still possess eternal life. It hasn't changed that position with me. Think of that. I'll never die. It's remarkable. Do you want to have a share in that? Well, God has made provision for you. He has. And you can trust him and ask him to come into your life right now, today. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation in your life and mine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another good day, another blessed day we're so grateful for. Thy love for us, you amaze us. We are amazed at how you continue to shower blessings upon us and how you've shown us clearly the way of salvation in our lives. Oh, Father, the day may come when we may all one day end up in old folks' homes. And when I discover the number of people that are there, no minds left, their minds are gone. It's too late. Oh, Father, I thank God, I thank you, Father, for 1,000 times over that It just does simply not matter where I end up or where I go, because I know that my future is secure. So I want to thank you this today for thy love and kindness. And Father, I want to pray that if there's anyone here today, right now, that have not made a settlement in their life, that have not seen the truth of what Christ can do for them, our prayer today is that you will simply give them, whet their appetite to those things which are eternal, and whet their appetite to recognize that there is something there for them. You've made that provision for them. We ask these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention.